and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Tuesday, August 6th, 2019. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. How are you this beautiful day?
Oh, I'm doing just great. Thank you very much. Just fantastic.
You know, I'm glad to hear that, and I am too. The world's going nuts. Our country's insane, but I'm doing well.
It is insane. The world is insane, but we're here, and we're doing what we know, what we do best. And we're looking at gold today, and it had a very good day. Gold is up 870 right now at 1473. Silver is up 6 cents today at 1652. Platinum was down $2 at 856. Go figure why platinum was down. Palladium was up 19 at 1445. It's the first time today I've been looking at these numbers. It's been a hectic day today. Dollar is stronger, 0.13 at 97.64. So gold really did outperform today as we saw a stronger dollar. Crude oil was down 98 cents at 53.71. And the markets today, you have the Dow, course, recovered half of what it lost yesterday. It was up 311 points at 26,029. The NASDAQ was up 107 at 78.33. The S&P was up 37 at 28.81. 10-year yield is holding the 1.74%. Futures, let's take a peek at what gold futures are, because it's actually showing the December contract at 14.84. So higher prices on the futures contract. European and Asian markets were unchanged, just a little changes. They basically had quiet days. And on the fear and greed index, we're looking at 27. Just first of last week, it was at 59. Now we're back into the fear territory at 27. And you know, it's after yesterday's move in the markets, Butch, things did quiet down today. There was a lot of damage control out there on all your mainstream medias, financial media programs. They were all out there, you know, calming the fears, great buying opportunities and all that kind of stuff. So,
right.
Even after the U.S. labeled China as a currency manipulator, everyone seems to have quieted down after that, not quite sure where it's all going to take everything. China did keep their currency sort of on a leash after all the markets went nuts. So their currency steadied a little bit. China says the U.S. currency manipulator labeling could cause chaos in financial markets. Of course, we did see that. They also came out and said that the U.S. is destroying the international order. I guess that might be a good thing, depending on how you're looking at it. Goldman Sachs says there's no trade deal before 2020 U.S. elections and expecting 3 rate cuts. And let's see if there's anything else interesting in the headlines before we get to a little more of the details. Trump freezes all Venezuelan government assets and
we're going to discuss that in a minute.
We're going to discuss that one in a minute.
That's very important too. I'll get into the reason why it's important in a few minutes, because it's on the list here. It could lead to serious ramifications that maybe he doesn't know or doesn't care, but it could lead to some serious stuff.
Well, you know, and that negative yielding we've been talking about previous programs. 15 trillion hits a record. 15 trillion. So 15 trillion is getting negative rates. So kind of interesting. It baffles the mind of going into negative rates. But anyway,
it's common sense. I mean, really, seriously, common sense is actually disappeared. It's dead. Common sense. I know they manipulate and do some fancy moves and do certain things this way and another, but common sense is use real money and let the markets regulate itself by supply and demand. But that common sense left this nation a long time ago.
It certainly did.
It's just unbelievable. In a little bit, when you get ready, I'll share a little bit of an article from Peter Schiff I thought was very well written. And I'm not necessarily a Peter Schiff fan, but this comment, I think you're right on the money. But you go ahead and finish up, and I'll give him that in a little bit.
Well, I'm glad that you said that, because I'm not a fan of Peter Schiff either. But he does come out with some good, you know, information and insight to what's going on and everything. But, no, I'm not a fan of his fund that he has. You know, he supports buying gold jewelry as a way to buy gold. And, I mean, he's gone off into some really crazy areas. But, again, some of his insights are all right.
They are. So you finish up what you want to say, and I'll get on that in a minute, and we'll go from there.
No, let's go ahead and let's get started.
Well, this is the article that I wrote, and it's a few paragraphs long. Peter Schiff on today's sell-off. The Fed is lying. Rates are going back to zero. Gold is going to 2,000. And in my opinion, that's going to be conservative, Melody. It's already at almost 1,500 right now, is it not? 1,470?
Oh, absolutely.
So I think it's going to be conservative. But nonetheless, on a day where it looks like as though the Fed's BS magic potion may finally be wearing off on the stock market, Peter Schiff joined Chris Irons on the Quote the Raven podcast to speak about today's market move, what it means, whether it can continue, and how he would position himself going forward. Schiff began by talking about the trade war with China and the United States escalating. He talked about why he believes the U.S. dollar was weakening on Monday and why he believes the dollar will continue to weaken for the foreseeable future. We've been in a recession, Schiff says. The election of Trump just delayed the inevitable for a little while. My thinking is the market was going down regardless of the cut they got, he said, talking about last week's rate cut. You can't say the dollar strong when it lost $30 against gold in one trading day. Gold tells you we have a weak dollar. He continued talking about Jerome Powell's press conference last week. Powell contradicted himself several times, which is something that you do when you're lying. The Fed is not telling the truth. Schiff predicts that interest rates were going back to zero and the Fed will start QE yet again. Powell's trying to pretend it's because of concerns about the overseas economy. It is really the U.S. economy that is driving the Fed. And I'll make a comment here. That makes sense. I mean, maybe the overseas economy may affect us some. But the Fed is here to protect the U.S. economy, folks. That's what it's all about. But anyway, that's why this is just the first step on the road back to zero. You know, it was a mistake when the Fed went back to zero the last time. It's going to be an even bigger mistake when they do it next time. And they're also going to go back to quantitative easing. You know, they announced just at the end of quantitative tightening. Well, the next step is to go back to QE, and QE4 is going to be bigger than QE1, 2, and 3 combined. And I do tend to believe he's right on that, Melody. I really do. And maybe understated a little bit, but I think he's definitely right on this.
You know, they're going to come up with another name for quantitative easing because, you know, we've been through this road before. So they've never stopped. All this money they're creating, you know, from the tax cuts, from everything else, is all stimulus to the markets, to the economy. We have it worldwide. You have economies that are only surviving because of the stimulus that they're getting from the central banks. Now, is that the new way? Is this the new economy? How can they sustain that? Somebody's got to pay for it.
Right.
Somebody's got to pay for it. I was always taught there is nothing in this world that's free. So, you know, how long can you stimulate these economies? You know, so, you know, again, you know, the Fed isn't there to keep our economies going strong. It's there to protect the banks. And as long as you have all the plunge protection team and the working group, they can keep it going day to day, but eventually they're going to run out of steam, and it is going to go back to QE just to keep it going. Just like Ronald Reagan's tax cuts. I said this yesterday. Yeah, his tax cuts did great for about a year and a half, and then the debt went up 123%. So can you imagine our debt going up that much?
Well, you know, it's amazing. Most people don't realize this yet. After all the years of this being information, the Fed is not federal. It's private.
No, it's not.
And the IRS is not federal. It's a private collection agency for the Federal Reserve, folks. Please know that when you deal with the Federal Reserve and the IRS, you're not dealing with the U.S. government agencies. Now, the IRS has guns, and they don't really have laws. They have regulations, which are not law, but they enforce them with guns, jail time, and confiscation of property. So, in all appearances, they are law. but they're not lawful law, if you know what I'm saying. So these two entities are not federal, and in real sense, they had no authority. They just had the power, and that makes a difference.
So yeah, I mean, he's spot on, and I don't think he's really said anything. He just put it together, but yeah, I mean, he's spot on. It's exactly what's happening. It's exactly what we talk about here. I mean, there's more and more talk that there was I don't know who this guy was, a Nomura strategist, Masanari Takada. You know, I'm not quite sure what kind of fund that he works and where he's from, but he's talking about, we're going to have a second market sell-off. You know, it's going to be like Lehman-like. And have we forgotten already what that was like?
Well, you know, with the drop of almost 700 points yesterday, and it's so overinflated. I mean, it was up, in 27,000 and dropped down to 700 points. That is a huge drop. And there was a time the drop that much, it'd been a fourth of the market. You know that.
Well, yeah, but I mean, 700 points, I mean, if you put it all into perspective, if I'm not sticking up for Wall Street. This is the sixth largest point drop in history.
Yes, it is.
But on the other hand, I mean, we're looking at, 26,000, 25,000, but it's the beginning, and we have to see what the trend is. And we all know that the stock market is overpriced. We all know that the majority of the stock market increases have come from multinational corporations buying back their shares. That's helped to keep it high. And they go in and sell. I saw Bezos from Amazon. He went in and sold a boatload of shares today. So,
well, you know,
that's what they do. And then it's the little guy in his retirement account, his 401,
sure,
that just keeps it. And he's been told, oh, don't worry, it's buying opportunity.
Well, you know, my point was, they've got it so high now, inflated so high, the people see it drop 700 points. Well, that's not much out of 26,000.
Yeah,
so they go back to sleep. It's no big deal.
They go back to sleep, and that's the
whole
point.
The whole point
they
I'm trying to make.
Right, so back to sleep.
It's just like it was 20 years ago, only it's higher inflated now. 700 points, it's still 700 points. But in today's inflated markets, it doesn't seem like a whole lot. But, folks, it is a whole lot. When it's inflated the way it is. So that's a trick. It's all done with numbers, smoke and mirrors, to keep you confident enough to stay where you are and risk everything you have in the future on something that's so unreliable. You know, Mel, I don't get it. Every time they invest money in the market, I don't care whether it's for retirement or what it may be, they're actually gambling with their money, aren't they?
They are.
They truly, truly are. Gold and silver is not a gamble. It will never go to nothing. Gold and silver has been valued ever since the beginning of time. And it's going to be that way to the end of time. Until to the end, the Lord says enough is enough. It'll never go to nothing. But when you have everything in digits on a computer or on a piece of paper in the bank, you're gambling with your future, your children's future. That's just the way it is. Tangible assets are far more important than paper assets. Paper is paper, folks. If somebody says the value is gone, the value is gone. If you got a piece of gold in your hand, no matter what they say, that gold's still there. Well, that's just common sense, isn't it?
It is. It is. And you know what? And it's all included. The American Pensions Fund, they fell short. Public plans with more than $1 billion in assets earned a median return of 6.79% for the year ending June 30th. This is the lowest since 2016. So, it's not there. And here you have record stock market highs. And they're still falling short in these public pensions. So, government's struggling to fund these promises, what they promised, the benefits to retired workers. So, ladies and gentlemen, what's telling us, you got to take care of yourself.
You
because the money's
do.
Not there. The money won't be there.
Well, again, common sense tells me something in your hand is better than something that's laying in a bank with a piece of paper. That's all I can say. I'm not going to get into that. It's maybe not the bank's fault, or you can blame whoever you want to. But if the assets in the bank are gone, your assets are gone. And that is not a good thing. It's not a good thing.
What else you got there, Butch?
Well, this I thought was very interesting. Walmart is trying to patent its own Libra-like digital currency. Now, this is for real. Walmart filed patent for digital currency via blockchain. Patent filing number is long, it's quite lengthy. System and method for digital currency via blockchain was published by U.S. Patent and Trademark Office on August 1st. The document outlines a method for generating one digital currency unit by tying the one digital currency unit to a regular currency, storing information of the one digital currency unit into a block of a blockchain, buying or paying the one digital currency unit. Walmart continues to outline that the proposed digital currency project can provide a zero or low fee place for users to store wealth. Now think about that, folks. Storing wealth on a computer digit. Now think about that. One that can easily be redeemed and converted to a store cash at selected retailers or partners. Such accounts could even be interest-bearing, the filing adds. The digital currency could alternatively be developed so that it can be spent anywhere, the filing states, with prospective U.S. dollar backing ensuring greater ease of deposits and withdrawals. It could be, now, this is interesting. It could, in another scenario, listen, folks, be tied to other digital currencies rather than fiat ones. Digital currencies aren't fiat, Melody?
Yes.
I mean, think about that. You can tie this to other current. You can tie it to other digital currencies instead of tying it to fiat currencies or paper currencies. Is a digit on a computer worth more than a piece of paper in your hand? I'm just asking. Both are nothing. Which is worth the most? I mean, this is ridiculous. So they're going to take, you can put money, you can save your money on a digital layout somewhere, and you can, and it's more worth more than a fiat currency. I really don't. Maybe I'm just ignorant. Maybe I don't see this picture. I don't know. But maybe you can cash in and get good with it. I'm sure you probably can. They have. But what if it does collapse? What if the digits disappear after computers go down somewhere and all that you had saved is gone? Or what if you go to cash it in, it's not worth anything any longer? Folks, it's just as fiat as dollar bill. Again, current paper, money in your hand, tangible in your hand, is worth 1,000 times more when it comes to it than that's on a computer or in the bank. But they're actually going to do this, Melody. Walmart's going to have its own digital currency, Libra. And it's interesting that this will be tied to other digital currencies, but not to fiat currencies. Now, you tell me which one of those you think is the safest. My answer is neither one of them, but that's my opinion.
Hey, we're heading right into a break right now, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with Butch Paul. We'll be back right after a few short minutes.
We will find you. Acting on your best behavior, turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule the world.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CommonSenseVoicesOfIntegrity.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. Ladies and gentlemen, gold prices. I don't know if we're going to have a pullback in prices. We could. But it could also go higher. So it just depends on how high gold goes before we have a pullback. And certainly with the stronger dollar today, and we certainly see gold rise $8. It's really just a little, a buck off the high for the day. So went up strong, stayed strong. And, you know, you just can't put away all these, you just can't bundle everything up and make everything go away. Our problems are here. And, you know, everybody believes we have this great economy, and you know what? Maybe we do. But we tell you every day that there's issues, a reversal. It can't be controlled by the central banks. It can't be controlled by the government. It can't be controlled by the multinational corporations. You know, they can do it for a little bit of a time. But ever since we went on that fiat dollar, and I don't mean to be preaching because there's too much to talk about, but ever since we went on that fiat dollar, here we are today. I mean, I don't think anybody who knew and understood fiat currency would expect us to be any place different. We have debt too great to be paid. It will be defaulted on. We will have greater and higher inflation. Your purchasing power is going to decline. Now, whether it's through a war, whether it's through, you know, whatever it might be, it is going to happen. It happens on a daily basis. You lose your purchasing power. So that's what gold protects you. Does it have knee-jerk reactions every time we get a tick up in inflation? No, it doesn't. It doesn't work that way. But over a long period of time, and, you know, I think people are beginning to wake up. I think people who have known we've had this problem and have enjoyed the ride in the stock market, they're selling. They're beginning to sell because they see the signs and they're putting it into gold. So, 800-375-4188. And, you know, I saw there's a big headline out of Drudge Butch. And it looks like the red flag gun control is picking up momentum.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Congressional Republicans now under pressure to respond to this weekend's massacres appear to be coalescing around legislation to help law enforcement to take guns from those who pose an imminent danger. And a measure that, if signed into law, would be the most significant gun safety legislation that has been enacted in 20 years. Red flag laws such as this might not be as momentous or controversial as the now expired assault weapons ban or the instant background check system, both which were enacted in 1994 as part of President Clinton's crime bill. But they may be politically feasible. And they're also very dangerous. We have 17 states and the District of Columbia already have red flag laws.
Yep.
But the push for them on Capitol Hill stops well short of the legislation mandating the universal background checks the Democrats and gun control advocates, as well as a handful of Republicans. You know, I was talking to a friend today about these red flag states, and they actually thought it was, you know, maybe something that it might be effective. And then I started to explain, when you have a family member, for whatever purposes or reasons, that thinks that you are a danger,
That's
your
true.
Rights are taken from you, and then you go to court.
That's very true. And
we can thank
our Make America Great Again president for starting this a year ago when he mentioned that on the news broadcast, and the state started passing it. This makes me very angry. I'm going to cover it tomorrow night. Tomorrow night is my talk about Trump night.
But the good news is, after explaining and having a conversation, the thought process was, yeah, that really isn't a good idea.
That is
dangerous. So
very
it's
true.
All how it's explained, ladies and gentlemen, when you talk to, you know, other people and say it's not a good thing. And the problem is, these kids, you know, and yes, we're only speaking about, you know, the ones that happened in Florida, and the officials knew about them. They knew they had issues. There were how many complaints with the guy in Parkland? But none of these people are being held accountable. People need to be held accountable.
That's
if
very
you want to make a difference. Is it the only thing that'll make the difference? I don't know. But someone has got to be held. If you're a parent and you know your child has these issues and, you know, you don't do anything about it, if you don't go to the police. I mean, these kids for the school, he was kicked out of school. There were how many, and the guy in Florida, I don't know how many times that they were reported to. I knew, not just one or two, multiple times. There was no reason he should have been slipped. There's no reason they couldn't have stopped that. Same way with the guy in Vegas. I mean, he should have had red flags all over him. All of them should have had red flags, but anyway, that's just my take, Butch. But
well, wasn't there another shooting today, Louisiana or somewhere in the Walmart? I just heard a snip of that. I was busy, but another shooting somewhere today. I thought maybe look it up while you get a chance. Well, I'm sharing this because I think another shooting today. But Trump started the red flag law before there were any red flag laws, saying that we need to take the guns first, then go to court. And there's a lot of problems with this, as you pointed out. First off, who gets to set the criteria of what mental illness is? Who gets to make the rules? And secondly, who's going to determine who's mentally ill and who is not? And thirdly, are they going to just carte blanche, just raid the people's houses and take their guns? Who knows what could happen then? I mean, there's a lot of things here, folks, we need to think about before we jump into something like this. The knee-jerk reaction by politicians when something like this happens is to take the guns, and I'm going to prove tomorrow night that guns not being in the hands of the public is the biggest reason for mass shootings. 90% of these shootings take place in gun-free zones. Now, people, that should tell you something. Go ahead, Melanie.
A woman was fatally shot at a car seat factory in Alabama.
Okay. Somebody said Walmart. Okay.
Yeah. News outlets report, and they caught the person. They make seats for Mercedes-Benz
okay.
in a plant west of Birmingham. So I don't know. Yeah.
But one thing, too, that I'm going to get back on Trump, and I'll get to more of this. Trump also, in the speech he made, said we have to condemn white supremacy in one voice. Now, wait a minute. Why is it all of a sudden a white supremacy problem? Why is it always our fault these things happen? Because we're white. We can't help that. We're born that way. And the blacks can't have been born black or Hispanic. Why are we coming out and saying this is white supremacy? I don't get it. And the blame on conservatives and the shooter in Dayton
liberal. I don't think he was talking about all whites. He was talking about the groups that you know do exhibit hate.
I don't know. It makes me very nervous. I'm just like you said with the gentleman you talked to. Who gets to determine what's hate? Is because maybe someone's a white separatist? Not supremacist, but separatist. That doesn't make him a hateful person? I was talking to my grandson yesterday and tried to explain something to him. Someone may be wrong in the thought process. Someone may be prejudiced, and I think prejudice because of skin color is wrong. But you can't force them to change their mind. And when you clamp down on people too tight, it just makes them madder. So these are things people have to think about. You can't force somebody to change their attitude on something. You may make them be quiet about it, but that doesn't change their mind. That's just the way it is. So things to think about. But, you know, I guess...
Yeah, but have we come to... No, I mean, no. These kids or these people who do these mass shootings, they're evil, period. They're evil.
Well, I have no problem with that. A murderer is a murderer. Do you ever stop and think that maybe the drugs are taken in schools can be causing brain damage? Or do you think there could be mind-controlled zombies that have been programmed for this? Now, you know all this is real, MKUltra and all that's real. But they put on Prozac and Ritalin and other things that numb their brains down. And then they teach them there is no God, there is no right and wrong. There's no value to human life.
That's the issue.
You know, that it's just a huge situation here.
The problem is when you begin passing all these laws so quickly and so forth,
the
issues are not addressed. The problems are not addressed.
The lieutenant governor
of Texas, I heard him first speak, you know, right after this happened, and, you know, he made a couple of statements. He says, you know, he says, we go to church on Sunday and we leave God there. We go 6 days and then we go back on Sunday. And we leave God there. And we need to bring God with us every single day, not
Amen.
Just on Sundays.
Amen.
And they've done that. They've eliminated God from Monday to Sunday. And that needs to change. And he also said that these video games, they bring in the value of these video games is more than... Oh, what was it? It was more than... Oh, shoot. I'll have to go back and look it up when he made the comparison. It was more than, like, phones and something else combined, the amount of money that is involved. And, you know, it's our society anymore. And how do you can't change that overnight.
No, you can't. No, it didn't change. Be this way overnight, Melody. It didn't change.
No,
it took decades. We went to school, and I promise it's true. I took guns to me with school in school. Left it in the principal's office after school, and I went hunting with a friend. We put it on the bus to take with us to high school. After school, I went back, went home with a friend, changed clothes, and went deer hunting. Now these are true stories. Taking a gun to school back in the '50s and early '60s was no big deal. Boys did all the time. Steve Slaniger, a little guy, I don't know if he still living or not, about the fourth grade, he was a little short guy anyway, brought his dad M1 Garand out of World War II for show and tell. It was another half as tall as he was in length. He brought it for show and tell. Can you imagine today if a child brought a gun to school for show and tell? Now, nothing's changed. The gun didn't change. The gun never harmed anybody. But attitudes have changed. Morals have changed. That's the difference. It's not the gun, it's the morals of the people that have them. And that's what it's all about. Their concept on life and what it's worth or not worth. That's what's changed.
It is. And I'm going to see if I can't pull this up. I saw an article. I just didn't have a chance to read it today. And my apologies for bringing this up and not having it in front of me before I mentioned it. But it was something about how the millennials, 89%, never mind. It's not a real article. So
89% said that they had seen no point in living, I believe it was, something along those lines.
Yeah, but that's from the UK. You know,
yeah, well, so. Hey, they're people too, you know.
Well, yeah, they are, but...
Yeah, and I would say the attitude's that way here a lot, too. I truly would, or it will be if it isn't. But I guess if you're in the backpack business, you're doing all right, because the demand for bulletproof backpacks is surging, it says. Up to $200 or more for a backpack that's got a bulletproof shield in the back of it. And, you know, after these shootings, and, of course, in Parkland, Florida, and, of course, El Paso and Dayton and other places, sales are going through the roof. For bulletproof backpacks. That is such a disgrace for a nation's society to have to buy bulletproof backpacks for children to wear to school to try to give them a little more measure of protection. What a disgraceful thing to say about a nation that once was a moral, virtuous nation, prosperous, and peaceful. What a terrible thing to have to say about a nation. It just breaks my heart to say that, but it is true. Our nation is devolved, as Todd was saying. I think we're devolving, not evolving, back into a time of like being like animals. The Bible says that men become brutish. The word brutish means bestial. Value of life means nothing. Only what feels good to me is good. And if there are no real consequences for doing evil, then why would evil not be done? So, you know, there you go. I just thought I'd make that point. It's a sad statement to see that, but it is happening.
It is.
So
what's next?
Well, I like your opinion on this. China will not be able to hurt them, Trump said. Trump hints at a third farm bailout. Now, I shared on your program Thursday when you weren't there about the upper 1% of the wealthiest farmers got most of the bailout. The lower half just got a pittance. But he wants to do another third bailout for the farmers. How many bailouts can we do? I don't know. I don't know how far this is going to go. And if the farmers can't make it, some of them got as little as $5,000 a bailout. That doesn't pay a month's cost in a farm. I know that for a fact. How are they going to make it? Would the bailout be able to save them again? I don't know, Melody. But the farmers are going to be hurt if China does what they're going to do and they quit buying the farmers' goods. It's going to hurt the farmer. Will the bailout keep them through? I have no idea. But in my opinion, if we're going to save any bunch, it should be the farmers. Do you agree?
Well, yeah, but I mean, again, we have to stick with our principles. We shouldn't have to be bailing out anybody.
I agree.
And that's the whole point. But I mean, yes, I do agree with you. But, you know, I mean, just like before, where the money's going to go is to the larger conglomerates, you know, and I get sick and tired of hearing about, oh, the consumer isn't affected, or, oh, the consumer's only going to have to be paying 10%, or the consumer's only going to have to be doing this, and the consumer won't be affected. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, we're taxpayers. Who do you think is paying those billions of dollars to the farmers? It's taxpayers. It's the consumer.
We are
being affected by it.
Of course we are. 1% or 10% makes a difference. It adds up when it comes time to buy food.
It only adds up. And again, yes, I love my farmers. And you're right. The money should be going there. But we're in this world that we just bail everybody out. And you're right. And that sounds, I love my farmers and I get in so much trouble. But you just, I'm not saying not to pay him. What I'm saying is, ladies and gentlemen, we have a problem.
Yeah, we do. We'll talk after the break.
And we can't fix it the way we're going. And we're heading into our break. That's where we're going. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two Black Berkey Elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Financial Survival brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And, you know, prior to heading into the break, we were talking about how China is halting the purchases of U.S. farm products. And they are going to, you know, with President Trump coming out wanting to do another subsidy for the farmers. Maybe it'll trickle down a little bit more than the last two, the ones who really need it. And
hope so.
But so, you know, we don't know how long that will be. They did not. So we'll have to see how it all goes, Butch.
We would, and I mentioned during the break. I'd like to see. Go back to was when I was a much younger fella that the farmers produce food for the U.S. and other nations produce food for themselves. We'll quit importing so much food, feed ourselves, prosper the farmers, give us wholesome food, and boost our economy at the same time. Now, how would that be for an idea that farmers go to work to produce food for the United States and not China? How would that be for a good idea?
Oh, it's amazing, wouldn't it?
Oh, my. But you know, that makes so much common sense and never fly in Washington, that's for sure.
Yep. Wouldn't that be great? More of our produce would come locally.
Can you imagine buying tomatoes from Florida instead of Mexico?
Well, you'd buy them closer to your state, probably.
Of course. Well, yeah. I mean, I just don't understand it.
Yep. You support mainly your state, your surrounding states, perhaps.
I know we're blessed here to have farm markets and fresh produce by the end, you know, organic growing, and I love it. I'm blessed to have that, you know, tomatoes and cucumbers all grown locally. You know, I get fresh milk and fresh butter and fresh eggs. I'm blessed that way. Why couldn't we do that for the nation's farmers? Hey, I got an idea. You don't have to sell your stuff to China or anywhere else. We're going to buy it here and feed our own people. We'll let you sell it right here. And put it on the shelves of Kroger's and Walmart's and Food Lines and Piggly Wiggly's. Put them everywhere. Let the farmers put the food on our table for a change. People, this is not rocket science.
So anyway. And yes, you wouldn't have strawberries 12 months of the year. You'd only have it during the season. Same way with oranges and certain. It'd only be during their season. So you'd have to skip a few months.
Well, do you remember back when watermelon was a summer fruit and that was it?
I remember that,
seriously?
But you know what? It tasted different, too.
It did. But I remember watermelon was like a 4th of July treat. And you know, and oranges in wintertime, maybe sometimes for holidays, they buy an orange. But, we know, that's just something that you didn't see every day. And we survived just fine.
Watermelon, as you said, was a treat.
It was a treat.
We didn't have watermelon every day. It was a treat.
And so was cantaloupe. If you had tomatoes, they were summertime fruit, and they tasted like tomatoes. You buy them in the store now in December. They look like tomatoes, but taste like cardboard.
Yep.
So anyway.
They barely bite through the skin.
That's true. So, folks, how about an idea we feed ourselves again? Would that be an idea to bring forth maybe to the Department of Agriculture? Maybe, hey, how about having the farmers give them a break? You know, come a tax break, a big tax break, till they start producing food for America.
Yep.
Don't charge me taxes all until they get their product rolling and are making money. How would that be for an incentive to boost the economy, Melody? Cut, don't say no more taxes for farmers until they're producing and making money. How would that be for a good deal?
Now, I don't mind that type of a subsidy.
I don't either.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Good deal. But anyway, move on, Matt.
We should be president. You should be president, and I'll be vice president.
Okay, that sounds good. But I just reading here, that, you know, everybody's talking about how the economy's growing, but it says job openings dropped to a four-month low. It slows down the most in 2 years. I think what Schiff said, Trump give the economy a boost, just like he said Reagan did. But it's starting to unwind. It is slowing down. And more companies are laying people off. Companies that you think wouldn't are laying people off. It is slowing down. But on an overseas basis, the Indian rupee plunges the most in 6 years. So it's just not here that we're seeing financial problems. It's happening all over the world. And get more of that in a minute too with China. But these things are worldwide. And most generally, the economy is all tied together. So eventually, it does put a drag on us, does it not?
Yes, it does.
So I don't know. I mean, the Indian rupee is plunging. Said Zimbabwe is close to an economic collapse. It's imminent. And this, I'll share with you, Zimbabwe's economic situation will continue to sour in 2019 due to unfavorable weather conditions, foreign currency shortages, and widespread power cuts, its finance minister said. As they responded to a deteriorating economic outlook by blacking out inflation statistics through the second half and finally acknowledged what the International Monetary Fund told him in April, economic turmoil ahead. Price of essential goods and services have in some cases quadrupled this summer due to the government renaming the RTGS currency as Zimbabwe's dollar, which has been on a rapid decline amid shortages, including electrical power, petrol products, American dollars, and food. Many Zimbabweans who support the toppling of decades-long ruler Robert Mugabe 2 years ago are discovering that the economic situation is the most serious in a decade. You know, when you trade one dictatorship for another one, Melody, you don't improve a lot, do you?
No, you don't.
And Zimbabwe, how many years ago was it they were having a million percent inflation rate, and the U.S. stepped in and having to use the dollar kind of back up?
It was a good 10 years.
Yeah, so I mean, they maybe come out for a little while, but they went back into a fiat currency. It's happening again. What would happen here if the electrical power, food prices quadrupled in America overnight? What would happen? What if the power shortages become real and they couldn't even buy for any price? We know that the grid's starting to crumble a lot of places. We're seeing that for sure. And another topic too. You've seen in the news last few months all the natural gas explosions in people's houses. You've seen those, right?
Yeah, I have.
What's going on with that all of a sudden? I mean, the houses are obliterated. There's nothing there. Why all of a sudden are these houses blown up and gas lines in Kentucky, the line itself blew up and shook houses, you know, a mile away? What's happened? Is the infrastructure falling apart that quickly?
Well, what I'd like to know is if these are newer developments and is the quality of work just so... It could be the cause.
Too shabby?
Mm-hmm.
Could be.
Yeah.
And listen to this. Uruguay and Venezuela issued travel warnings for U.S. after weekend mass shootings. We now have countries like Uruguay and Venezuela said, if you go to America, be careful. Mass shootings are going on. And advised, you know, said avoid cities such as Detroit, Baltimore, and Albuquerque, which are said among the 20 most dangerous in the world. So... take precautions in the face of growing indiscriminate violence, mostly for hate crimes, including racism and discrimination, which cost the lives of more than 250 people in the first 7 months of the year. So now foreign countries are saying, be careful going to America. That's really sad, Melody.
Am I wrong in thinking that, you know, these cities, the cities you just mentioned, the crime... aren't these cities just corrupt?
Well, they are corrupt.
I mean, shouldn't these police departments, or they just don't have the money?
Well, they're probably broke.
Go ahead.
They're probably broke, and I'm going to say this, makes people mad, but all of them have been run by Democrats for years. I'm just saying it. That's the way it is. But they also had the most restricted gun laws. Detroit and other places, guns are almost impossible to get in there. But they have more shootings. I was covered this tomorrow night, too, than in any place in the country. Gun-free zones have more shootings. So it's a combination of bad leadership, corrupt government, and gun laws.
Yep.
There you go. And Trump's going to impose...
Nothing irritates me more when I hear that in a city, there's areas that the police don't even go.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? If there's an area that police don't even go, that's the first place I would go and clean it up. Get them out.
Well,
if there's an area that police don't go, I'd have to probably be a safe bet that those that are in there probably all belong in jail. I'm not saying all of them, and you know, but why would we have areas in this country? And I remember in the 70s, the first time I went to New York, I wanted to go to Harlem. I wanted to see. I mean, I'm a little kid from a little town. I'm a country girl going to the big city. I wanted to see Harlem. I wanted to hear about this, all the stories that I heard, if it was true. So back then, I was even looking for the truth. Nobody would take me. And this was in the 70s. Like, and I, yes, they cleaned up Harlem and so forth and whatnot. As kudos. Kudos to New York for doing that. But it's like, why would we even have areas in this country that we can't go to?
Well, I do know that in certain regions of Detroit and other places, and this may make people mad, I don't care, the Muslims have taken over and the cops don't go in there. They're running themselves in the tree of law.
Yeah, that was long before them.
Oh yeah, I'm talking about now, though. Today, we're talking about today.
But it doesn't matter. I mean, it's an area that you can't go into. It's an area that it doesn't matter who's in there.
I agree.
Why are there areas in this country that we can't go to? Period.
I totally agree. If you have to, send in the police to clean up. I agree.
It doesn't matter who's in there.
I totally agree. Now, no one discussed this. Mentioned a while ago, Trump imposes total economic embargo on Venezuela. Last Monday, President Trump signed an executive order imposing a full economic embargo, at least in the word embargo, or quarantine, it says too, against Venezuela. After a week ago, the White House began signaling it could seek to quarantine and fully blockade the Maduro regime. The president does immediately hand over power of his own accord. Now, who are we to tell the president of another country to hand over the power of somebody else? Who are we to do that, people? Are we right? Because we're the United States. Executive order freezes all government assets in the United States and prohibits all transactions by any Venezuelan officials. And what constitutes the first major expansion of sanctions targeting a nation in the Western Hemisphere in over three decades. And, folks, listen to this. International law is clear. Blockades are undeclared acts of war. Now, you better have to sink in. No nation may legally use this tactic against another state unilaterally with coalition partners. Melanie, this is serious. To blockade a country is cutting off their life supply. We did the same thing in Japan, folks. That's why they attacked Pearl Harbor. Nonetheless, to blockade a country is an act of war. If someone tried to put a blockade in the United States, what would happen? Would not be war tomorrow?
I would think.
Oh, yes. So how come we, the United States, can go say, oh, we're going to cut Venezuela off from all life support? We're going to make the people suffer more until the leader we don't like steps down and somebody comes in we like. Are we so powerful that we can tell nations who they must put in office? Are we that arrogant?
We've been doing it for a lot of years.
Yes, we have. So Venezuela could be a hot spot for war. China warns Hong Kong protesters not to play with fire. It's getting worse. You know, the Hong Kong protesters said when this one law is done away with, we're going to settle back down. Well, it hasn't happened. And I can't say they're right or wrong. I'm not going to get into that. I understand where they're coming from. They don't want to go under a regime like China. I understand that. But there was a treaty signed that they agreed to. So if they break it, is it right or wrong? You figure it out. But it's another place, another hot spot where anything could happen. And U.S. carrier sails into disputed waters amid new flare-ups. This is aboard the aircraft carrier Ronald Reagan in South China Sea. A U.S. aircraft carrier has sailed through the disputed South China Sea in the latest show of America's military might amid new territorial flare-ups involving China and the three rival claimant states. The U.S. Navy flew a small group of Philippine generals, officials, and journalists to the aircraft carrier Ronald Reagan, where fighter jets landed and took off by catapult with thunderous blasts. The nuclear power carrier, which was brimming with about 70 supersonic F-18 jets, biplanes, and helicopters, was en route to Manila. It sounds to me like the whole world's getting low and steady. Do you think this could affect the markets?
it hasn't. So, I mean, it should if something, you know, goes a little bit further. But, you know, it's interesting. Iran unveils new missiles. You have North Korea.
That was the next story.
Launches. Yeah.
It's going to be the mother of all wars if U.S. attacks. So I don't know. They have three new air-to-air missiles, you know. So I don't know. I have no idea. And Russia said they're going to be forced to deploy banned missiles if the U.S. does. You know, we pulled out of the treaty that we made in 1987 with Russia, and they're saying now that if you develop land-based bases missiles, we will too. And this will escalate the arms race. So all these things that folks are coming together in different countries around the world. North Korea is going to farm more weapons as long as we go along with the war games. With South Korea and Japan, U.S. North Korea is going to keep firing rockets. And Trump said it's okay. They're just small rockets. I don't know about that. I can't tell you. But I just know that in the South, in East Asia, in the Middle East, in Venezuela, South America, war drums are beating, Melody. If it does erupt, anything could happen, couldn't it?
Absolutely.
So if this is enough to get people thinking about the future, and if you want to keep things in paper, I don't know what will.
800-375-4188. We'll be back tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Butch.
You're welcome.
And you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom. We'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe. Good night.
Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.